White. Speaker Brother Skippy Norman. Sermon title, Are You Thankful? All right. Scripture is Luke 17, verse 11 through 16. Scripture reader, Greg Shriver. Serving at the table, Nick Ciamentero and Wiley Edwards. Closing prayer, Vince Ciamentero. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to come together for this worship service. May thy blessing, Father, be upon all who are here. We pray, Father, you would bless also those who had a desire to be here, but were unable. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first song will be 635.
Tempted and tried, we're taught me to wonder why it should be we'll understand it all. comes from his home in the sky. Then we shall meet him in the mansion. We'll understand.
Number two instead of 22.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, sky, moon, and stars on high. Praise the Lord.
Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for letting us be able to approach your throne. We thank you that we are able to speak with you on this wonderful Sunday morning, that we're able to gather as a family, to be able to sing praises to your name, to be able to worship you as you indeed certainly are worthy of all the praise that we can give you. Father, we thank you for your Son who came to this earth, who died on that cruel cross that we might be able to live, that we might be able to tell the world of your Son's saving grace. Lord, we also thank you that we're able to have the eldership and the deacons that we have, who help shepherd us, help guide us, and also who are worthy of all the blessings that they have bestowed upon them, for it is not an easy job to be able to do the work that they do. Father, we ask that you watch over those in the congregation that are in special need of blessings due to illness or for whatever reason that they have for not being able to be with us this morning. We ask that you, if it be your will, to bring them to health. And Father, we ask that as they do so, that they're able to find the peace of mind knowing that they're with their family once again. Watch over the leaders of this nation. We ask that you give them the wisdom that they need to be able to lead our country as it ought to be, so that we can take care of those that are around us and be the leaders of this world as we know we always have been. For you have blessed us as a nation greatly, Father. Father, these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Further prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing number 330.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble home? Why did he choose the lonely ground? Because he loved me so, he loved me so, he loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, for me, because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross he lifted up? Because he loved. He loved me so.
This time we've come to the portion of our worship. We remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Want to briefly read a couple of verses here, establish some background for what it is we're about to do. This comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, and starting verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." It's further clarified in other places in the New Testament, including Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, that Lord's Supper is part of our worship on the first day of the week. That's when we're, as Christians, are supposed to observe it. It consists of two emblems. We have the bread, which represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we have the cup, or the fruit of the vine, and that represents the blood that he shed for us. This hymn we just sang, you know, for me, because Christ loved us so. So at this time, we have that opportunity to clear our minds and reflect back to the cross, reflect back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we'll bow and give thanks for the bread and partake, and then we'll do so for the cup. Would you bow with me? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for thy Son and our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, Father, for his willingness to go to the cross, willingness to become that perfect sacrifice, Father, that perfect Lamb of God. And Lord, at this time, Father, as we're about to partake of the bread which represents his body, Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd help us to clear our minds, Father, we might reflect back to the cross, reflect back to Christ, Father. And that in doing so, we might partake of the bread in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. O kind and merciful Father, we are so privileged and so humble this morning that we can give honor to whom honor is due. Our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, for his precious blood that he willingly shed on the cross, His soul-cleansing blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. For it is in His name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
We try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible somebody might have been inadvertently overlooked. So if you happen to be overlooked in the passing of the bread or the cup, if you would signal to us at this time by raising your hand, and you'll be served now. Needs a bread. We'll move on next to another portion of our worship as we conclude the Lord's Supper. And now the subject is giving. And I wanted to read a couple sets of passages as it pertains to giving as well, provide some biblical reference for us. First comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And those establish giving as part of our worship on the first day of the week. And next, I wanted to read a couple verses that speak to the manner and mindset of giving. This comes from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll start verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so at this time, as we see, giving's part of our worship on the first day of the week. It's an opportunity to give back a small portion to the Lord of really, when you think about it, everything, every single thing, all the blessings that are really too much for us to even try to count or itemize. So let's keep that in mind, as well as the mindset that the Lord expects we have to give in terms of being a cheerful heart, not under compulsion or necessity. Give as you've been blessed. So at this time, let's go to God and give thanks for the opportunity we have to give back. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow once again before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, at this time, we're ever mindful, we're ever thankful of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father, in addition to all the other blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father, physical blessings, material blessings, everything in between, Father. Just our blessing of getting up and rising up out of our bed this morning, Father. And we're so thankful, Father, for all these blessings, Lord. And at this time, as we have opportunity to give back just a small portion of what we've been so richly and graciously blessed with, Father, we pray that the collection offered would be able to help further the work of the church here, Father, and may help to broaden the borders of your kingdom, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Song of invitation this morning will be number 925. 925, just mark that one. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 84. 84. Let's stand as we sing that one.
Dread not the things that are ahead, the burdens great, the sinking sand, the thorns that o'er the path are spread. God holds the future in his hand. God holds the future in his hand. And every heart he understands. On him depends, he is your friend. He holds the future in his hand. We know not what tomorrow hides. A sun or storm of good or ill, we only know his dear hand guides, and he will be our Father still. God holds the future in his hand, and every heart
Scripture reading for this morning will be from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 16. That's Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 16. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, Brother Skippy.
I say good morning. Truly God has once again been good to us. He allowed us to be able to assemble ourselves together on this morning. It's good to see those who are here this morning. I know we have several who are traveling on this morning. It's good to have you here and those who have called in on our conference call. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings and this opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have assembled today and those who have called in on our conference call. Pray, Heavenly Father, that what will be said from your word, that we look back over our lives and make sure that we are living in accordance to your holy and divine word. Guide me in your word, Lord, the things that I say. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I get started, I just want to thank those who call in to Tuesday night at the MacAlma Church of Christ doing Zoom. As I spoke there on Tuesday night, we just want to appreciate all of those who call in and listen to that program on Tuesday night. Are you thankful? Unless we know what we should be full of, then often our lives are crammed with clutter, unnecessary things, trivial things, to the point that we have no room left for which God intended to fill us. Your fullness will determine what overflows to every area of your life. So the question must be asked, and better answered, what are you supposed to be full of? Do we even know? And if we don't know, then we become full of busyness, full of trouble, meaningless mess, stress, cares, careers, and the list could go on. A void will be filled with something. And unless we know what we should fill the space in our lives, then we will fill that space with something. And so the question comes, are you thankful? When we look at this text, I want to set the scene so you can understand what is happening in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11 and following. Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem. He is on the border of Samaria and Galilee. The Jews look down their nose on the Samaritans. And as he is in the place where the two comes together, and they often clash, and as he enters a village, he is interrupted. Now remember, all of Jesus' ministry is intentional. In other words, this is a divine appointment for these men. The first thing to notice about these men is that they are outside. In verse 12, they are not part of the group. They are outside looking in. Do you remember that feeling? Maybe it was on the playground when we pick teams. I choose so and so. But then you are the last one left to be picked. Like you don't know how to play. And so we see that we all have memories of being left out. And so these guys are outside looking in. Not by choice, but by law. Because they had a serious skin disease called leprosy. They were unclean. And the law did not allow them to be in contact with other people. They could not come any closer than 6 feet. They had to warn people that they were near. And they done so by shouting, unclean, unclean.
and the only place that they could live. They had to live with other lepers. They were at the mercy of those who would leave them scraps of food. This disease, it affected the nerve endings. So they couldn't tell if they had cut themselves or if a rat had eaten part of them in the night. They were living a death sentence and being shut out at the same time. But when we get to verse 14, in verse 14, and when we see, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. Now watch this. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So imagine how grateful, how thankful those 10 lepers must have been after Jesus had healed them. But yet after being healed, how many sought out Jesus to say thank you? The Bible says in verse number 15, only one. 10. But one came back and said, thank you. But then in verse number 19, we find that that one that came back to say thank you was made whole. He says, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Did you catch it? 10 were cleansed, but one was made whole. The key to being whole, the key to being full, was thankfulness. And so this morning I want to give you three things about being thankful from this text. The first thing that we need to see is to be thankful, we must leave the crowd. This man walked away from the thankless. He went against the flow. And so in order for us to be thankful, then we must distance ourselves from an entitlement mentality. What do you mean? See, watch this. Only one came back to thank the true source of their healing. Now, we are not told what the other nine did. Maybe it was possible that some did not think a thank you was necessary because they were expecting a healing. Why should I have to live on the outskirts of town, a loner, isolated from my family? I deserve what Jesus did for me. It was the only right thing for him to do. But maybe others might have patted themselves on the back and gave themselves credit. After all, they did what Jesus told them to do. So they brought about their own healing. It wasn't like Jesus touched them. It wasn't like he told them that they are clean. They had to walk to the priest. And so we had to take care of our own healing. But maybe others might have said thank you to the priest who gave them the clean bill of health and allowed them to go back in the community. We don't know what they did. But I do know that you will not be full of thankfulness if you think you deserve what you have only gained by the grace and the mercy of God. We can't allow ourselves to believe we deserve what Jesus has done for us. Like Paul, we got to remember that we are chief sinners. We didn't earn healing. We didn't earn a blessing. We didn't earn the unexpected. But it was by God's grace alone. And so we must leave the crowd and return with a heart filled with gratitude. In order for you to be full, many of us are going to have to distance ourselves from the thankless. But then secondly, to be thankful, we must be willing to stop. This man stops on his path, recognize that he has been changed, and then return to say thank you. He went back because he was mindful of where his healing came from. This one man with leprosy didn't forget where he was when Christ came walking through the village. He was in a leper's camp. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you forgotten what God has done for you? Do you approach God when you need healing and forget him after the crisis? Do you all of a sudden put on this religious face when times are hard, but then forget it after the fact? Have you found you only come to God when you have a shopping list? Maybe you use God like a heavenly 911 call. Help God, I have an emergency. Bail me out. How many of us receive blessings from people or our Father, but aren't mindful of the source? Too often we are thankful because we are forgetful. We forget what God has done for us. The key is to give thanks, not merely to feel thankful. I'm certain that the other nine were thankful about being cleansed. How could anyone not feel thankful after being healed of a deadly disease? But only one of the ten did the right thing by coming to Jesus, expressing thanksgiving. There is a tremendous difference between simply feeling gratitude or feeling thankful and expressing thankfulness. So many of us, we stop and we fail on our journey to acknowledge his touch, much less the human hands he uses to do the touching. We literally act as if we have always been saved, always set free, always on the path to heaven, always in the right standing. This guy comes to stop and reflect on his changed condition, and it produced gratitude in his heart. Maybe once again we need to dust off that old song that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. Let's take time and stop and allow what God has done to cause us to be thankful. But then thirdly, thankfulness must invade our language before fullness will invade our life. This man opens his mouth. He declares his gratitude, and it produces fullness in his life. His willingness to express gratitude caused him to graduate from healed to being made whole. Thankfulness is a state of being. It's a way of life. And we usually fail to live in a state of thankfulness because we take it for granted. Not just our health, but our general well-being. Like being warm when it's cold, cold when it's warm, having enough to eat, having clothes to wear, having food, a roof over our heads at night, not having bombs crashing around us day and night, we are being able to make choices. Y'all listen, we take these things for granted. There's a lot of folk who would love to have just a little of what we are blessed with. And so we got to understand, we got to be thankful. But also I noticed the leopard. He also teaches us that thankfulness completes healing. Healing means to be made whole. And so while all the 10 of lepers found physical healing, only one found wholeness. I'm not suggesting this morning that we thank God for the crisis or the pain. But what I'm suggesting is that we thank God for his continual faithfulness and presence in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the crisis. I'm suggesting that we thank God for the strength and growth that we experience during the crisis. I'm suggesting that we thank God for the shower of mercy that soaks us during crisis. Crisis situations don't always turn out the way we want them to. And the pain that we experience, be it physical, be it emotional, is a very real. But listen, we can still find healing. We can still find wholeness by maintaining a spirit of thankfulness. Let me ask you a question this morning as I begin to close. How often are you thankful? Are you thankful in all things? Stop and think about the week that just ended. Now stop and think about the things that went wrong last week. Did you give thanks in all of those things? And if you are like me, I can guarantee you that there were some things that came up last week that you weren't excited about. An unexpected car repair bill that you thought that you had taken care of. An illness of someone you care about. A situation that happened in your family, but God fixed it. God gave you strength to endure it. God made a way. God brought you through it. But did you end up saying, thank you? Thank you, Lord, for bringing me through last week, even though things didn't go as planned. But God, you still brought me through. Every one of us had something that made us stop and question, if only for a moment, but did you give thanks? Did you thank God? I'm concerned this morning that too many of us go days without expressing any thankfulness, any gratitude to anyone, to spouse, to parents, to friends, to the waitress who served us, and then it bleeds over on the Sunday, and we come into the presence of the King. We won't even declare, God, you've been good to me. God, you brought me through. You brought me from a mighty long way. David declared in Psalm 100 and verse 4, "In into the gates with thanksgiving, and to his court with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his holy name." Psalm 150 and verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." In Psalm 51 and verse 15, "Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise." Open your mouth and declare your gratefulness, and it will produce fullness in your life. Our mouth must be filled with thankfulness, and it won't be long until we also discover that our life is full of fullness. If you and I can't think of something to be thankful for this morning, then we have not thought long enough. We have not thought hard enough. Just for him touching you this morning, waking you up this morning, that's enough to say thank you. Lord, you didn't have to wake me up, but thank you. You allowed me to live just one more sunny day. This week, as you give thanks to God for all his blessings, take some time to give thanks for all the wonderful people he has put in your life. Practice all week so that when given the opportunity to express thankfulness to God, you can't hold it. You want to tell somebody that God has been good to me. He spared my life. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is the will of God for my life? Lord, you know, I don't know. I've lost so much. I lost my job. I lost my health. I lost my husband. I lost my wife. Lord, I've just lost so much. But did you notice what his will is for your life? God's will is that we be thankful. Listen, you look not at what you lost, but look at what you still have left. And you have an awful lot that's left. And anything, you're still alive. That's a blessing. So don't look at what you lost. Look at what you still have. You still have family. You still have friends. You still have your portion of health and strength. It may not be like it used to be, but you still got your health. You still can see. You can still, amen. A lot of people don't have that this morning. But you still got something. Be thankful for what you have. Even out of a bad situation, God can bring good out of it. In every circumstances, no matter how bad it is, you can give thanks to God because I know He has a purpose bigger than my problem. I know that He would give me the power to overcome the problem. And I know that I will grow through the experiences if I allow for Him to help me to grow. In every circumstance, even in the evil that's happening in the world, I can be thankful because I know God is greater than my problem. I know this morning that God is still in control. So the question this morning to you, are you thankful? You think about that. Not with busy stuff, but what God has done for you in your life. You not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard a portion of God's word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ. For in the water we gave a baptism for the remission of your sins. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you're here in a Christian, maybe you have not been thankful for all the things that God has done. Now is the time to start today being thankful, being grateful for what He has done, for what He is doing, and for what He will continue to do. Let us stand.
I am in love, no longer to linger, shine by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these are the worth my life.
Amen.
Master,